called this morning All Sorts. I don't really know why I called it All Sorts now. It's lost in the mystery of time, but it was a good idea at the time. And I think part of the reason is that we are all sorts, called to serve a world of all sorts. There was once a great gathering of the bishops and cardinals of the Roman Catholic Church in Rome during the papacy of Pope Paul VI. And as often happens these days, it was beginning to degenerate into a bit of a squabble between the traditionalists, we're changing nothing, and the modernists, we want to change everything. And this was going on, and the ball was being batted from one side of the net to the other, until this tiny Belgian cardinal came to the front and asked permission of the Pope to say a word. And Pope Paul said, "Speak, brother." And he said, "I think we're all forgetting the question." We're all forgetting the question. And we are here as a church to ask the world the question, who is Jesus Christ? That's our purpose. To ask the world, who is Jesus Christ? Well, that shut them up for a minute or two. And that's what we're involved in all together. We're all called to ask the world, who is Jesus Christ? Or, of course, in the words of the gospel, who do you say that I am, as Jesus said? Who do you say Jesus is? What difference does that make to your life, your world? I've been suggesting that we should think of our refurbishment as a people of God, like wandering into a house. So here is a house plan. It's just any house plan. It could have been any of the hundreds that were available to download from Google, but this is the one I chose. This is not an exercise in house planning and how you would do it. This is a very simple house for an American one, which I think it is. But we saw several weeks ago now, when we were thinking about this, how vital it is to have our foundations properly laid. Any building that is going to stand must have foundations, and that for the Christian community, that means the purposes and promises of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is our foundation. There is no other foundation. We start with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. But then we're invited to enter the house through the doorway of God's love. He chooses to guide us to the door, to open the door, to make us welcome, to give us a place. It's God's love. And then from God's love, this isn't behaving quite right. And also with you. So we have the place of love. The place of love. Actually, I think that should say the place of honor, and it does at the end, but it's the place where we honor God by telling him how much we love him. It's the place where we take time to give something to God for who he is. I likened it to the time when we go to somebody's house, you know, and we tend to take that bottle or that bouquet of flowers or that box of chocolates simply to say, thank you for inviting me and making me welcome here. I don't take it for granted. I want to give you something back. But then we were also remembered how we need to go into that much darker room, a room where we need to stop, to consider and be honest before God. It's the place of confession. It's the place of repentance. It's the place where we need to be open with God about the reality of who we are and how we live. Because we need to be reminded how much God has done to overcome that so that we can be one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We also need to know it so that we know He knows us and loves us despite who and what we are. And then we come back out of there and we may, after we have given our time of being honest with God, we may indeed want to come back to the place of love. And then we go on to the place where we say, make me, show me, use me. We called it the place of petition, the place where we approach God for ourselves. Make me who you want me to be. Show me what you want me to do. Use me to fulfill the will of your kingdom. And today, we come into the place of blessing. Blessing all sorts. Now, I'm not planning to, this morning, go through a close opening up of the Beatitudes. It's been done often before and it will be done again. But I rather want to say, what is it that they say to us as a group of sayings of Jesus? What is their significance for us as we seek to be the people God wants us to be? The word at the center of each of these is Makarios. Makarios, a Greek word which means blessed or fortunate or happy. Most translations of the New Testament use some variation of the word blessed. Blessed are you. I came across one translation, though it was in a Bible commentary, but the translation says, good fortune to you who, at the beginning of each of these, the Beatitudes. I guess the idea of fortune is one that we as Christians tend not to embrace very much. It all has to do with luck and so on, and you know, but the point is that in the original Greek language, Makarios was the word for fortune that was borrowed by the Christians to describe blessing, if you see what I mean. And some translations use the word happy. Happy are you, which is fine so long as you take happy in its deepest and widest sense and not as just something a bit of a light touch sort of word. I like the word blessed because it speaks of something that God is doing to us and for us. Now, as we look at these words, the question is, are we faced with an ultimate challenge or an ultimate blessing? Are we challenged with an ultimate challenge or an ultimate blessing? You see, all those Beatitudes fall into two halves, don't they? Blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, blessed are those who know they're totally dependent on God. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who recognize they're broken and have lost something and someone, and there's a space for God to work in their lives. Blessed are the meek, the gentle. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who are desperate to see good done. Blessed are those who are merciful, and so on. Now, if we see that purely in terms of a call of how we should live, and I'm quite clear as I read the Beatitudes that they apply to every disciple and to the whole community of the kingdom. You know, this isn't like the gifts of the Spirit, where you may be an evangelist and you may be a prophet and you may have a gift of discernment and you may have a gift of tongues and you may have a gift of interpretation of tongues and so on, and where we all need one another because we bring the difference together to make the whole. I don't read that here. This is actually much closer to, if you want to think about Paul's thinking. And we remember this is Jesus' presentation. This is Jesus speaking, not Paul. But Paul gets closest to it when he speaks of the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and so on. Where he is not talking, some of you are patient, some of you are kind, some of you are self-controlled. It's a call for us, each of us, to be all those things if we're to be fully developed disciples of Jesus. And here's Jesus saying something of the same sort to us. Blessed. Now, if we just look at the first halves of each of those verses, we'll end up talking about this being the ultimate challenge of being a disciple. How do we come to that point where we are each of those things honestly and completely before God? Or if we look at the second half, we might be looking at the ultimate blessing. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They shall be comforted. They shall inherit the earth. They shall be satisfied. They shall receive mercy. They shall see God. They will be called children of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Nicky Gumbel tells the story in his book Challenging Lifestyle of the way he went to the gym once and he saw this poster. You could become an ultimate member of the gym. Do you have what it takes to become the ultimate member? And it was a challenge. The idea was that you should train for 6 weeks and then you were required to do 10 things in 45 minutes. The things, and this is the sort of thing that, you know, Eric does every day before breakfast. Well, it was 6 weeks training is recommended, and there were four levels. You could go for super fit, fighting fit, getting fit, and older and wiser. So you could go for one of those, and there were different things and a different circuit for each one. But Nicky Gumbel, this was when in his late 20s, he thought himself a particularly, you know, he was into fitness and that sort of thing. And so he went along and he said, I want to do the super fit. And they said, but you've not trained. I said, oh, I'm all right. I can do that. Tell me what it is you've got to do. And they said, well, you've got to cycle 5 kilometers. You've got to bench press 40K weights. You've got to do a lateral pull down, 50 of them, 40K weight. You've got to do 100 sit-ups. You've got to do running 2 kilometers on a steep gradient on the treadmill. You've got to do 100 press-ups. You've got to go on the climbing machine and climb for 500 feet. And then actually there are 3 other things, which included things like the rowing machine and the cross trainer. Those of you who go to gyms know the torture equipment we're describing here. So you've got to do all those in 45 minutes. So he said, I'm going to do it. Now, not many people actually went for this challenge. and he was aware about halfway through that a bit of a crowd was beginning to gather. People were beginning to stop doing whatever exercises they were doing on their machines and were beginning to follow him round as he went from place to place. And he did it in about 44 minutes, 30 seconds, and he was really proud. And his family were just, you know, as you can imagine, like most families, totally over the moon when he showed them his T-shirt. And the next morning, he got up, thought, I feel a little bit stiff, but I'm fine. The next morning, he didn't get up. He couldn't get up. Not a muscle in his body would work. And decided that perhaps should have taken the advice. He'd gone for the ultimate challenge, and he was now paying the cost of it. We're not asked to just do a challenge, we're asked to also take a blessing. I love the way the Passion Translation translates these Beatitudes. Just going to read it through to you. I've put the regular, normal translation, the one we said earlier, at the top of each page. I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to read what's in yellow print. What wealth is offered to you when you feel your spiritual poverty? For there is no charge to enter the realm of heaven's kingdom. What delight comes to you when you wait upon the Lord as you mourn? For you will find what you long for. What blessing comes to you when gentleness lives in you? For you will inherit the earth. How satisfied you are when you demonstrate tender mercy, for tender mercy will be demonstrated to you. What bliss you experience when your heart is pure, for then your eyes will open to see more and more of God. How blessed you are when you make peace, for then you will be recognized as a true child of God. How enriched you are when you bear the wounds of being persecuted for doing what is right, for that is when you experience the realm of heaven's kingdom. At the core of all this, I believe what we need to take is a very simple thing. That God blesses his people so that his people might be a blessing. We are called to bless the world with Christ, in Christ, and through Christ. And these things are something living. Raniero Cantalamessa, who is a preacher to the papal household, and a Roman Catholic charismatic, he says, the Beatitudes are not an outdated legal code that the church has to accept and transmit as faithfully as possible. They're a source of perennial inspiration because the one who proclaimed them is risen and alive. And there's a French poet who has written a little poem which says, Jesus did not give us dead words that are to shut up, that we are to shut up in little boxes, and that we are to preserve in rancid oil, but he gave us living words to nourish us, words of life. Living words can only be preserved alive. We are summoned to nourish the word of the Son of God. It is our duty, it is our task, it is our responsibility to see that what is heard, world without end, to make it resound. To see that it is heard, world without end, to make it resound. The disciples of Jesus are blessed. You are blessed. Each one of you is blessed to bless. Sometimes we get all sorts of wound up about, you know, am I this? Am I that? Am I doing that? Am I doing the other? Am I missional enough? Am I caring enough? Am I compassionate enough? Am I prayerful enough? Am I, and the list goes on and on and on, and we can very easily convince ourselves that we are none of the above. Let's be rather more positive and understand that whatever else you are blessed. Because God has blessed you if you have come into relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. He has blessed you with the relationship with Himself, with the knowledge of Himself. He has blessed you that you can know that He is going to be with you every step of the way. That when you are stretched, He ensures you're never broken. Beyond what you are able to take. The disciples of Jesus are blessed to bless. So don't worry about what you are or what you're not. Our concern as a community of Christ is first and foremost to be a blessing to the community we live in. And if we are a people who are blessed, enjoying the blessing of God, others will want to know the reason that we have this within us. You may have come across the book, The Way of Blessing by Roy Godwin. It's the follow-on to a book called The Grace Outpouring, and it talks about all that's happened at a little retreat centre in Pembrokeshire called Foudebrennan. And they have a simple statement for the way of blessing. And I just want to leave you with this morning as we go into communion. As we consider for ourselves, how have I been blessed? How have we been blessed? That we might bless others. At the beginning of the book, he says this: we seek rhythms of life that will nurture truth within us. We are nurtured by the compassion of the Father. We believe that He has crowned us with love and compassion. We embrace a salvation that touches every part of our lives. We believe that He is present to us now with the power to heal, wisdom for our circumstance, and with outrageous grace for our forgiveness. We desire instructed hearts and minds. We seek rhythms of life that will nurture truth within us. We want to be carriers of His presence. We long for the manifest presence of God to go with us. We are forerunners of the blessing of God. We want to be those whose words nourish many. We seek to imitate Jesus. We believe greater things are yet to come. we believe that blessing for us and others is nurtured by community. We want to be known as a people that have God with us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's be still for a moment. I'm going to sing together, and following or at the end of the song, I'd like to invite those who are going to be distributing the bread and wine to come and join me at the table here. Thank you.
Let's stand and sing together.